This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are not streaming live on YouTube today. However, we will put up some of the highlights of the show on YouTube. Just internet stuff as I'm on remote, for today and tomorrow, but be back in all of our usual places on Monday. We'll sort of never read the comments in a second. But Anthony, I have just an announcement, a proclamation that I'd like to make real quick. Just so everyone listening is on the same page.
Okay.
I'm hungry.
Oh, wow.
You know why I'm hungry?
You're hangry.
I'm not hangry. I'm in a fine mood.
Okay.
And I'm sure I could go downstairs here at my mother-in-law's house and get some snacks. I'm sure if she hears the sound of my voice, there will be snacks that somehow magically appear because she's an excellent, wonderful baker. And she's made all kinds of treats for us as we've been here this week. And this is not a cry for help. It's a comedic mini story, because when you are on child time, AKA you've been, in charge of a 3-year-old a week, we're getting really close to dinner time here at 5:30.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I
was very used to my schedule is like I eat close to 8 o'clock because of course I eat close to 8 o'clock. I do a radio show until 7 and I have to go home and make dinner because my wife often is working late and all that kind of stuff as well. So, if we eat by 7:30 ever during a week, I'm pretty psyched. But this week my body's like, oh, it's 5:30. Shouldn't you be making dinner right now? Isn't dinner supposed to be done by at least 6 o'clock? And it's not. Today I'm working like usual, and so I will go have I'm sure they're gonna eat without me because they should, because the 3-year-old runs the world, not me. But at 7 o'clock I will go eat dinner.
I mean, as long as you know the 3-year-old runs the world, then I think you'll be good, you know?
Yeah. There's probably some funny Uncle Craig stories we can weave into the show later, perhaps. I'll have to think of the best one of the week and try to, we'll do that at the end of the show today.
Okay.
But just, yeah, being at the mercy of children, man, it's, how often have you like had to solo uncle?
Or solo?
Small group uncle, either way.
Solo.
Or like you're in charge.
Rarely. I mean, maybe like an hour or two, but like not days at a time, no.
Yeah. Tough. And like, we're still in, like, you know, the 3-year-old's parents, my sister-in-law and her husband, like, they're still around. Like, we're still in the, hey, if something goes wrong, we just hand the screaming child back to the parents and they have to take care of it, situation, which is very aunt, uncle, not like faux parenting. But we do have a much more direct understanding of the schedule. I'll put it that way. The schedule is being dictated by the children's needs.
Yeah, for
not
sure.
By ours. Yeah. But today I'm back to being an adult. I'm here at work, and it's Thursday, and it's 5:30, and that means it's not time for dinner. It's time for this.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, so this is how this goes. The show is chopped up into all the segments that we do and put on YouTube at Greg Hoffman and at the Team 980. We then take all of your comments that you leave on said show, this show, and we read them. We pick out some of the ones that are most interesting, sometimes funny, sometimes thoughtful, sometimes terrible and in need of bashing. And then we talk about them on Thursdays at 5:30 in this here segment we call Never Read the Comments. And to start, Anthony, a little moose-boosh as we always do. A Fish on Second, which is one, a great screen name. A Fish on Second. And two, someone who left a very correct comment on all fronts. Coming off last week's game, we're talking about all the ways in which Thursday night football was less than ideal for Washington. Said, I believe that the NFL should stop the Thursday night football for the players and the fans' sake. It won't happen because of the money. This is correct. This is 100% correct. Does anybody actually want Thursday night football? Like, clearly we watch it because it's the NFL, and especially if it's our team or the team that we cover or whatever, if it's a good game, we'll watch it. But part of the beauty of the NFL is the scarcity to me. I actually would prefer it to be on just Sunday, maybe Monday night. I can live with 2 days a week of NFL football. But I think the NFL, in a way, has diluted its own product. The problem is, in diluting its own product, both the on-field product, because Thursday night football is not actually real NFL football because of the lack of game planning, the lack of recovery. There's obviously elevated risk of all kinds of things because of all those things. Like, while it has diluted the product, it is anti-diluted. It has filled the bank accounts of all of the stakeholders, and thus they don't care. Because ultimately it's a business as much as we want it to be about the purity of the game. And so that sucks. I just want to acknowledge that this is a correct comment, even though by no means do I think that the NFL will ever go backwards. In fact, there will probably at some point be more football on other days of the week. Like, who knows what they're going to do when now that they're doing the Christmas thing on a Wednesday. Like, what happens when Christmas is on Tuesday? Are they just going to have an NFL football game on a Tuesday? Like, it feels ridiculous.
I mean, we have.
That was because of COVID and like a game got delayed versus like, I'm like, are they going to do something stupid? Like, I guess you could have a team play Thursday, Tuesday.
That would be insane.
I don't know. Like,
I mean, actually not. Well, yes, it would be.
Yeah. Like, or if it's a Tuesday game, are you going to go, hey, those teams are going to, it's almost like a Monday where it's like, it's the prior week, not the next week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're going to figure it out because Netflix money is the best money you can get in media right now. So they'll figure it out. All right. The main topic this week in Never Read the Comments is about the Commanders offense coming off of the Philly game and the Take Command episode that we did where we asked, is the Cliff Kingsbury regression happening? That was the title of the video. Very, very, very catchy. Very, I want to say clickbaity because it's a question that people were asking, but we got into it. And the first comment that I got in this video, Anthony, happened so fast that I posted the video and then I saw a comment before I even saw a view.
Huh?
So zero views, one comment.
Okay.
And it came from GoCaps DMV and it said, I don't think so, but God, I hope not. To which I responded, you could watch the video. And thankfully, GoCaps DMV took that well and was like, you know, that's a great idea, Craig. Thanks for all the content. But I do find it hilarious, Anthony, that some people see this, you know, whether it's like a Twitter poll or an Instagram poll or whatever. I'm like, it's YouTube. The point is the video, not just the headline. That one made me chuckle.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a society, though, where one headline, you know, will tell the entire story. So I don't know, man. Or they don't think it does anyway.
But when there's a question, perhaps, you know, the what that headline is leading you to could have the answer.
It could. It could.
All right. So with that, more substantive, people who actually watch the video, LMFF620 says, Cliff is a knowledgeable offensive football coach who has a history of at least momentary success with teams that are not first rate. So if he has this expertise, he ought to be able to take a look at his own tendencies by midseason. If indeed his offense is being stymied after early success, and make the necessary corrections. It's not rocket science, and it doesn't make sense to me that he would have this fatal flaw. Maybe for one game or a part of one game, but not leading to total end of season collapses. Bottom line, I don't blame Cliff. By the way, they lost by 1 point to Pittsburgh, now recognized as a top team, and by a touchdown to Philly, also a top team in the NFL. This is way ahead of the Commanders' expectations. I agree with most of this, but there's also just been so many collapses from Cliff. But I think when you look at it, some of those collapses are a bit overstated because they've had injuries and things. Like, oh, they were rolling and then Kyler Murray got hurt and then they stopped rolling. Well, yeah, Kyler Murray got hurt or another key contributor got hurt or whatever. And so sometimes there have definitely been regressions late in season for Cliff due to the fact that some defenses have gotten on to his tendencies for that season and kind of jumped on them. But there's also been other seasons where maybe other non-schematic factors have gotten in the way. And I think the other part of it that I'm really interested to see this season is Cliff has talked about how the head coaching responsibilities really got in the way of him being the offensive coach that he wanted to be. Without that as an issue, can he make whatever changes need to happen? Because NFL teams are going to get banged up. It is a long season. How do you, I don't want to say proof yourself of that, because every team is going to struggle with worse players. That's the nature of it. If your backups were better than your starters, they wouldn't be your backups. But some teams are more resistant to it than others. And I think that's the thing that you have to acknowledge and say Cliff has not always maximized perhaps what he's had. Along the same lines, IA Rocks 44. People are seriously overreacting. Winning either one of the Pennsylvania games, Philly or Pittsburgh, would have been huge. We are playing with house money. Very few teams have the speed and discipline on D to beat this team like those two. And yes, the other teams have clearly better talent. People need to lay off Cliff. The Eagles' defensive talent and our own execution was the problem. Insert players, aka not Cliff. Jaden had his worst game throwing the ball, and the wide receivers dropped very key balls. But to be honest, the Philly D-line was totally handling our O-line, not to mention Thursday games on the road, even if it's only 2 hours away, are insane. If they let Dallas handle them this way, we can start getting concerned. I think this is the right approach. That is where I am on kind of the Cliff of it all. And frankly, the Jaden of it all. I think that this is a an offense that ran into some really good defenses, an offense that has really dominated a lot of lower opponents. And part of that is going to happen when you're dealing with the level of talent that's on this team. It's like your scheme can elevate beyond other teams that have similar talent and worse scheming and worse attention to detail and worse, you know, that are not as well taught, etc. But like, Noah Brown's a good NFL football player, but he's not a star number two receiver. Like, Cincinnati's got T. Higgins as their two. Washington has Noah Brown. Devontae Smith in Philly. Like, we're talking about different levels. You know, when Tampa was rolling earlier this year, like, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Like, Terry's awesome, and Noah Brown's been good, and he plays his face off, but he's still a guy who was cut by the Houston Texans earlier in the season. And that's it. Like the Texans, when they've got Nico and Diggs and Tank Dell and all those dudes, like, yeah, they've got a good receiving core. A lot of it's hurt or has been hurt, but there's a reason Noah Brown was on the outs there. But like, okay, he fit and is a starter. He was playing a lot of snaps here. And so I think there's just the reality that against the best teams, it's just going to be way harder. Washington has been a little banged up on the offensive line, specifically inside where Biotish has been battling, Allegretti, Cosme, like they've all got stuff. And that's stuff that isn't keeping them out of games compared to Coleman, who's got a shoulder that has kept him out of games. Lucas, who hasn't played in a bunch of weeks, and Wiley, who got back for that Thursday game but had missed time. Those guys are not able to execute at the level that they were earlier in the season against better talent. And still they were competitive. So you can put that optimistic spin on it. You can say that's all really good. They've ultimately got to get it done. But if all of a sudden Zimmer on a short week coming off the mini bye for the Commanders is all over everything Cliff is doing, and this offense just looks out of sync and out of sorts, well, then perhaps we need to have a different conversation. But to this point, I think it has much more to do with the opponent for all the reasons stated in that comment. Along those lines as well, greatest kids 50-47. Along the offensive side, we're pretty banged up, but this mini bye and the late bye is good for us from a health standpoint, getting close to the playoffs. I think when we play Philly the second time, it won't be the same feeling. Philly has also has the Ravens and Steelers remaining on the schedule. So worth pointing that out because the division is still probably up for grabs, depending on what happens in those games. But also, even if Washington gets a wild card, like, that's fine. You know, that I think that would, anyone would have taken that at the beginning of the season. That was either reasonable, rational, or both. But I think when you talk about playing Philly again, I mean, Washington had the lead into the fourth quarter. You can say they had the fourth quarter because Jake Elliott is on a whatever the opposite of a heater is right now, the Eagles kicker. But they still force some longer field goals and boat up in the red zone. And, you know, that still, even if you hit those field goals and the extra point is what, 7 points? So you're still talking about a one score game into the fourth quarter for Washington, just if those kicks go in and nothing else happened. So that's good. That's encouraging. You'd have to think that facing them the second time, the offense would have a little bit more sustainability to it. They can get some more first downs, sustain some drives. They would have a full week to prepare compared to the short week and being banged up and all that kind of stuff. So I think when they play again, it's going to be a really good game. I would expect it to be a tough game. We'll see what the crowd is like. I think that's another interesting thing. That game was Thursday night, you know, Philadelphia, tough off-road environment. What happens in D.C.? Philly fans, we know, make the trip down. That stadium has often been at its worst, if you will, when Philly comes to town because of the proximity and how good the Eagles have been the past bunch of years, where Eagles fans have had reasons late in the season to travel, especially late in the season. I mean, I knew the moment that Bruce Allen was getting fired was week whatever that was in 2019. I remember going up to visiting I left the press box because the game was a blowout and went and visited a friend who was sitting on the suite level. And I could see a lot more of the stadium from a crowd standpoint because I was higher up than I typically can from the press box. And seeing the black and green in that stadium and the 70-80%, it was the most full the stadium had been all year too, by the way. And it was full of Eagles fans. And I was like, Snyder is not, like, Dan Snyder's a moron, but he's not going to stand for this. And sure enough, you know, Bruce Allen's gone. Jay had already been fired that year. You knew that they were going to do something a little bit different. And we all know how that ultimately went down because of all the things that Dan had done prior to that point. But for this season, I expect it to be a lot more split. And then starting next season, I would expect a lot less Philly fans in the building because obviously more Commanders fans are going to commit earlier. They've already sold more season tickets, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Success lead to a more home partisan crowd compared to Eagles fans who bought their tickets in May as soon as the schedule came out, anticipating that they were going to have an easy game in week whatever here in D.C. because the Commanders were going to stink and the Eagles were going to be good. Well, turns out both teams are really good, and that game is going to be for the division to either lock it up for Philly or leave it as a possibility going into the final weeks of the regular season for Washington, depending on what happens in the Steelers game and Ravens game for the Eagles, which have not happened yet. Last couple of comments here in Never Read the Comments actually come from Eagles fans. And I mentioned that we had these earlier in the show. But CTeal2018 says, Eagles fans here. Actually, sorry, I got one more that I want to get to first, before we get to that. Or is that one farther down? Or did I delete that? No, it's down here. So before we get to the Eagles fans saying nice things, one more Commanders Eagles thing that I wanted to get to from LJNX8WE. If there's a better way to say that, if that's code for something, LJ, I don't apologize. DeJean at 40 was a steal. Peters Bubba didn't like, especially in the division. Good trades are the best for your team when whatever the other team had in mind doesn't work out. And, you know, if you can steal someone for a total flop, then great. Sick. The Jahan Dotson trade looks like that for Washington, where Dotson has gone to Philadelphia. He's done absolutely nothing. And Washington turned that into multiple players and picks. And it's like, sweet. Done. Excellent. That extra third rounder they got kind of unlocks them to make the Lattimore trade. We'll see who they get. You know, Miami not nearly as good as anticipated, so that pick is going to wind up being higher. Like, there's a lot of good things that happened out of that trade where it's like, yeah, that's the best trade for Washington, especially against a division opponent where they suffer. But the reality is, most trades, there's a reason both sides want to make them. And sometimes it's a salary dump, and it might work out in the long term to help a franchise rebuild, a la what the Saints are kind of doing with the Lattimore trade. They just needed to get salary off their books. Washington gets a good player. It works out. Some trades wind up working out for neither team. Like the Dwight Howard trade back in the day kind of wound up working out for absolutely no one. In the NBA, you see that, I think, more in the NBA, but we're just more trades. But often trades work out for both teams, and you can't get caught up in looking at the other team. You can't get caught up in what Howie Roseman did with that pick. The Commanders needed multiple players. One Cooper DeJean was not going to help them. A Cooper DeJean, a Ben Sinnott, Mikey Sainer still, Ben Sinnott, on down the list, all the guys they got out of that trade. That is what the Commanders needed, because they needed volume of players. And yes, DeJean looks like a stud. He looks, and him at 40 is a steal. But it's really a steal more of reflective of all the teams that passed on him early. But what Washington's going to get out of this is one of their starting corners and captains for the next decade, a tight end who I think is capable of a lot more than he's been in position to do right now, and will be in productive roles moving forward when they move off from Zach Ertz, etc. And a couple of other guys in that deal and how it all goes down that will be players for them. So you can't worry too much about being in the division. You can't worry about too much about teams that aren't necessarily on your timeline. You can't worry about anything other than doing what's best for your team. Because if the other team is good and you stink, well, they're still good and you still stink. But if the other team's good and you're also good, well, now you get to go compete. And that's where the Washington is. And that brings us to the final set of comments from Eagles fans that I thought were interesting. First, PJM7879 says, Eagles fan, your comments, talking about Logan and I had to say after the game, are excellent. Talent disparity, yes. Only way to overcome disparity is precise execution of details. On fourth down, coach knew his defense was failing, and a first down gives more rest. Almost impossible for a defense to stop an offense three times with 1 yard to go. Needed the points to have any chance to win. And talking about the fourth down decision that Quinn made, like, yeah, the Eagles executed better, not just on fourth down where Commanders bobbled a snap, but they executed better on second and one, third and two before that. That's where the Commanders screwed up that drive. And so the continued higher level of execution, in part because of the talent disparity, I think was the huge key to that game. And that's sports. Better players often win. And I thought this one was really interesting in terms of perspective and how Eagles fans are thinking about this Washington team right now. But C. Teal 2018 says, Eagles fan here, you guys, meaning the Commanders, are the team in the division that are on the come up. And I feel that the new brain trust is competent enough long term that you guys will have success. So Eagles fans are looking around, not necessarily scared, but with a level of respect going, oh, yeah, they got it figured out in D.C. The days of this being a three-team rotational division where the Giants have a run and they pop in and out, the Eagles have a run and they pop in and out, the Cowboys, and then Washington's just the trampoline at the bottom that everyone else is bouncing off of. And then it seems like 5 years, they pop up, win a division, and go right back to the bottom again. Those days are over. It's what it looks like through 11 weeks here, 12 weeks here, where Washington has a much more sustained ability to succeed in the long term. And so we'll see how it goes. Next division game, of course, this week is Dallas. And it is a huge, huge test to see if Washington can get back on track and get going and prove that they are the team that we thought they were earlier in this season, and there hasn't been a regression as we head towards December. That is Never Read the Comments. You can check us out, of course, Thursdays. You can Never Read the Comments, but if you miss any part of the show and you want to maybe have your comment read on radio, you can go to YouTube at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980. Subscribe so you don't miss the best of the Hoffman Show daily. Normally, we stream live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. Not today or tomorrow because of technical reasons, as I'm on remote. But I'll be back in studio and back on the YouTube live stream on Monday. When we get back here on the Team 980, it is time for our pick six. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. over the next half hour here on the Hoffman Show.